Hey, if you could, if you would you examine the alien mind? I mean, that means if there are aliens out there, I don't know what you think about it yet, and we are going to definitely take a look at it today. Rust is Dar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. It is March 14th, 2011, and you know what's really great here today? Another spring day. All the snow is gone. And we're ready to, well, jump into and grapple with aliens. And by the way, let me tell you right now, on the website that we have here, we have mentioned that, let me just read it to you here. And I quote, if hundreds of millions believe these entities are there, millions say they have seen something, and intelligent minds have embraced the belief in aliens, extraterrestrial, ultra-terrestrial, extra-dimensional life, well, then we must engage the phenomena. It's time to rip the mask off the face of this top-down deception. Out of the eros, Greek word, air, atmosphere, they come. As above, so below. Where have you heard that before? Strange connections between aliens, UFOs, the occult, psychic phenomena, psi warrior issues, and we'll take an examination of that even in the scriptures. Let me tell you where I was years ago, sitting at the Theosophical Society here in the greater Akron area. There I sat. I had heard about a man that had engaged the aliens. Listen to the aliens. The aliens came and got him. They abducted him. They got into his mind. They appeared. He stood there in front of us. I'm not going to say his name. He's an author of a number of books. The last time I had gone down to the Theosophical Society and asked about this man, because I wanted to reach out to him. I wanted to talk to him direct. But he was in the psych ward. He had a breakdown. I haven't heard since. What happened to the man? He talked that day about mind melting with a flower, creation. He clearly had some kind of spiritual presence, wasn't the Spirit of God, but I sat there in a crowded in that Theosophical house, and listened to this man go on for about an hour and a half. See, he kept talking, waiting for the entity to come on him and through him and speak to the crowd. He's going to channel an alien. The alien was going to come and speak through him. He told the experience of the aliens coming into his room, engaging him. Now, of course, he was into the occult, into the new age, into spirits, into meditation, into the drug world. And he has all this experience that occurred. And you could tell it was real to him. He was frightened by it. And we waited and waited and waited and waited. Now, listen, I sat there hungry for an encounter. I was sitting there prayed up, praying, waiting. I wanted to engage the entity. I surely did. After an hour and a half, finally the man said, listen, I don't think anything's going to happen. Let's take a break. So during the break, people are talking, and actually the friend that I brought with me, we decided to leave since nothing was happening. The friend, Fort Bragg Monarch, chosen one, numerous sub-personalities, psi-warrior abilities, remote viewer abilities, and also explained of their engagement with time travel, alien presence, non-human enhancements. Pretty amazing, sitting in the Theosophical Society in a kind of secret society in a way, but where the foundations of the New Age spiritual counterfeits projects, Alice Bailey, all the rest, Helena, listen, there is a connection between the communication, the mind behind occultism, secret society, the mind behind the 2012 phenomena, the mind behind the New Age movement, the mind behind, well, the alien phenomena. So this week, we're going to do this. We're going to examine. We're going to get into the head of the alien mind, or at least the concept. We're going to take a look. Tonight, Monday night, we're going to deal with this. Aliens, do they exist? And if so, what are they? We're going to look over extraterrestrial, ultra-terrestrial is the new term, hyper-terrestrial is another term, and then the extra or hyper or supra-dimensional. What are the physics and the powers and the agenda of these entities? Let's ask this question, okay? Why does this phenomena even exist? Does it have anything to do with the end of days? So I want to welcome you, satellite-wise and internet-wise and by the archives, live right now here at 6 p.m. on Eastern Standard Time. We're coming to you in a providential hour, and I'm going to say supra-natural hour. The providence of God will be involved, the engagement with the compassion, the mercy, the grace, but also the Spirit of God's warning in this week will be heard. The website, www.shadowthedarkness.net. We have the theme up for the week. It's just simply examining the ailing mind, and then subtitled, Who Are They? What Are They? And What Do They Want? Now, on the website, we have added now the Black Awakening course, 24 hours. It is now on the actual site. Here, you don't have to go to the blackawakening.com, but it's here on this site. It's all free, 24 hours. That brings insight to the book that's out, The Black Awakening. By the way, we deal with the alien contribution, or the ufologist, alienologist contribution, as one of the streams concerning the movement towards the end. And it's all connected, mind control and super soldier and weapons development and globalism. Well, it's all in there. It really is. I got a book here in my hand to my left. Here's the title of it. That's kind of where I got this title in a way anyway tonight. Alien Mind. Subtitle in the bottom here, The Thought and Behavior of Extraterrestrials. Now, that's where I already have a problem with the book. Let me read you something on the back of this book. Here's what it says. Alien Mind, referring to the book, begins where other books usually leave off. Rather than debate whether UFOs and aliens exist, Alien Mind quotes human contactees and information, aliens in a startling new exploration of the thoughts and assumptions of our extraterrestrial neighbors. Did you hear that? Kind of a pro-alien approach. Quite different than War of the Worlds, Skyline, the new Steven Spielberg movie coming up, and the movie I saw Friday morning, Battle L.A. In all these movies, these massive, massive movies, including the old one, Sign, well, these extraterrestrials, these beings, in that portrayal, they're coming to get us. They're coming to eat us. They're coming to destroy us. They're coming to colonize us. They're coming to shred us. Humanity can barely stand up against them. If you've seen any of these, or even the movie, I think it was called Cloverfield. I'm going to continue to read on the back of this book. 60 years, this is quote, 60 years after Roswell. I've been there twice. Cool place. I love the area. Were there aliens there when I went? Well, they had a parade. They had little green, well, they had little boys and little green men outfits. Balloon aliens, like the grays. They were green. 60 years after Roswell, aliens are trying to get to humans, to step the bounds of elite greed and failed ecology in order to develop a more mature kind of cosmic citizenship. Now see, the back of the book, and this is placed there by the author, George Lobuno, and let me tell you something, this already assumes their belief in the entities, their belief in what it is they're communicating, kind of a collective of what they've been communicating. Now, I've read it in other books, I've heard it from abductees, but this is kind of startling because, again, another major book going to make a contribution to the massive numbers. But it goes on, I quote, although some content may be unsettling, you know, like the part where they want to change our genes, dumb us down so they can control us. About the aliens' great fear of human independence. These non-human intelligences, according to the collective reports of their communications, of the mind of these entities, they fear human independence. They fear rejection, basically. I'm quoting on the back of the book, although some content may be unsettling, it should help to fill in some of the blanks in public knowledge about aliens. Alien Mind, the book, introduces previously reported sources and helps readers understand how aliens think, how these entities think. Can I ask you something? Do you know how they think? How does the fallen cherub think? How does the cosmocrator, the ascended master, think? Isn't it strange that in all the discussion lately, it's all about they have mind, they think, they have will. But it doesn't seem they ever like us. Whatever they are, well, we're going to examine that. I think without question, I know who they are, who they really respond to, what they don't want millions and millions to know. I'm going to keep on reading here a little bit, and it goes on to say this in quote, and helps the readers understand how aliens think and feel about their interactions with humans and other aliens. Well, here, somebody cares about how the aliens think and feel. Isn't that amazing? But in relationship to humanity, well, that's important. How do these non-human entities coming out of the skies into the lives of thousands, seen supposedly by millions and believed to exist by hundreds of millions worldwide? Here it goes on to say, it discusses alien science and how humans can both detect and identify different types of alien and their, listen now, and their energy networks. Interesting thing here that Dennis Briefier, board member of the John E. Mack Institute and former chair of the Center for Psychology and Social Change, Cambridge, Massachusetts. Here's what he says about the book, Alien Mind. Quote, an in-depth understanding of how the brightest beings in the universe think and interact with others using highly nuanced fractal logic, and how conversely aliens may have infiltrated the highest levels of power on Earth. Now, I don't want you to miss this, because I believe there is truth behind what all of this and all this quoting I'm giving you. The problem is, I don't believe this former chair of the Center of Psychology and Social Change at Cambridge, nor the author of this book, or of the other five to my left, that they understand the nature of these beings. Now, if you've been listening to this program over the last, you know, couple of weeks, you notice on the website we have download of a PDF file. If you go to www.shatterthedarkness.net, you're going to find right underneath where it says Examining the Alien Mind. It'll tell you to the left a mini broadcast. It's about 9 minutes long, I think. 9-10 minutes long. You can listen to the introduction for the entire week and some other update. And then right past that, it'll say PDF file or PDF study notes. Click on the PDF study notes, and I think you'll have about 5 or 6 pages. We're on Monday night, and we're going to go over the aliens' existence issue, non-human intelligences, biblical revelation, and we want to touch a little bit on prophetic revelation and give you astonishing, powerful word of hope for today out of the book of Daniel. But I want you to think through. If you're a believer in Christ, and thousands of you are, and by thousands upon thousands of you worldwide that even download later on, listen, I know so many of you. By the way, I want to say thank you to an individual today out of Ireland that just, I got an email, a connection, and want to say welcome. I want to say welcome to those in Portugal, Spain, and there's some in Venezuela, right on the coast, listening. There in Greece also, and down in Brazil. So we want to just say welcome to all that we want you to know. More than just a talk show, more than just engaging the conspiracy of the day, We know God loves you personally more than anybody else. God wants you personally more than anybody else wants you. And God is knowable. And let's ask the question right now. Where is God in this whole context of examining the alien mind? Let me just ask that right now and kind of answer that based on, well, what the book brings out. I mean, the book has back there on page 252, are aliens religious? Interesting. Now listen to what is written by a man that has researched the alien communication, the alien mind, what they think, what they feel, and is communicating that to us. And I quote what he says here, starting on page 252. Quote, while some humans think of spirit as their higher individual consciousness, aliens think otherwise, if they even use the word spirit at all. We usually don't hear their internal discussions on the subject because they're too subtle. Aliens so subtle. Why so obscure? Why are they so, let's ask questions as we go along. Quote here, think of the none of selects. It's that phrase, these aliens, and I put that in parentheses. Please understand, I want to be forward with you. When I say alien, I mean entity, spiritual entity. Doesn't mean they're Casper the Ghost. Doesn't mean they're a fog. We're talking about solid beings, ancient beings. They are a race. There is a collective. There's no question about that. But in the examination of multiple experiences where the aliens have communicated, the aliens have unveiled their thought, unveiled their feeling to a degree. Well, the author of the book, Alien Mind, says they, these beings, they think in terms of spirit in the collective sense. In other words, only a part of you that is universal could endure. Goes on page 253, here it goes. Do aliens believe in God or a creator? The question assumes that there is a single individual entity. Now that reveals the author of the book doesn't know God, doesn't know what to say about God. And some of you listening right now, you don't know God, you don't know what to say about God. That's okay, I want you to be here. I want you to be here because I want you to be engaged. Because behind all the talk, behind all of the interaction, and it's important, it really is, the phenomena is here, has been. It has changed the lives of very many people. In the book, he says, the question concerning God, the question is that there is a single individual entity, a kind of super being with singular character. Aliens, usually, these entities, now listen, entities, if you're a believer, you understand I'm talking about the demonic side of stuff. I'm talking about the, you can call them watchers, planos, archon, authorities, cosmocrators, territorial, forces in the heavenly realms, fallen angels, daemonoia, demon, unclean spirit. I think that when we deal with the alien issue, though, we're dealing with planos. It's a category given by the Spirit of God. And also cosmocrator. We're going to go over those two specifically. But he is saying that in the collective communication of these entities, they usually don't think in such terms. Instead, they talk about a multiplicity of intelligences that can converge in a collective community of mind, which you participate in and are a part of. Pretty interesting. When I think in terms of the body of information here and another few books that we're reading here will bring out during the week. And when I bring out some of these books, I'm not saying that I recommend them as the facts. I'm just bringing out as examples. Because in this book, on the page that I was earlier talking about, 191, where it talks about Whitney Strieber, earlier up, it talks about Richard Boland. Well, they have it down as B. Dolan. And I met Richard down in Roswell. I have listened to Whitney over a long period of time. Loved to talk to him. Listen to what the interaction is here. The question is especially relevant here. The Earth, according to this infrastructure of collective alien entity presence and so forth, is now so deeply immersed in an abduction and breeding program here that human abductees have been told they can be used for reproductive purposes because they belong to the abductors. That's out of Jacob's book. They belong to them. Now, Richard Dolan thinks of himself clearly as one of the leading. He really understands all the body of literature on alien issues and UFOs and so forth. And the author is saying that he wrote him and discussed the genetic improvements of humankind in the past, referring to the aliens. Hence, they have a right to intervene here because we belong to them. Now, that's believing what they, the entities, are communicating. We belong to them. Really? Do we really? Goes on to say, abductee Emily told David Jacobs about how gray aliens see humans in terms of how we can be used. Sounds like the exact nature of the dark side. You see, when I read the book Alien Mind and other books and interacted with abductees, I hear the same kind of mind, same kind of feeling, same kind of content, same kind of belief that is the construct of the array of the demonic realm, its collective, and its head, the fallen cherub. I'm reading again what it says here. You got to hear this. When a hybrid bred by grays to look human argued with a gray about how he wanted a 15-year-old abductee to be his sexual assignee, the gray told him, the other entity told him that the girl was a resource, not a resort. This is pretty amazing that the abductees that are being used sexually, hey, listen, the aliens are arguing over you. You're not to be a resort, but a resource, because according to the communications the aliens say, and some alienologists believe wrongly, and I want to bring warning to them concerning this, that we, the human race, belong to them. Nonsense. It's exactly what every spirit, demon-possessed individual, the spirit inside can say they're alien, they're a spirit guide, they're an ancient master, they're even a relative, and that is their nature. Control. You know what? This is what I read again. You got to hear this. In a similar vein, Whitney Strieber once noted that his abductors, listen now, the main fear was human independence. Now, you know what's really weird and providential about all this? Maybe that you're listening. Love to hear from you. You can go to shadowthedarkness.net and right-hand side, scroll down a little bit. There's a contact tab. Appreciate hearing from just a note saying where you're from. We can't get to all, can't respond to all, but we try to do so many emails per day and prayerfully get to those who have need. A lot of interactions happening this week. I want to give you some quick news and update. Then we're going to jump right back into the, well, examining the alien mind. How you doing today? Listen, this is the day the Lord has made. There is an answer. There is hope. There is the hand of God. There is the summons of God. And it might be during this show, maybe because you heard about the information, maybe because somebody emailed it to you, maybe because you've monitored, maybe because whatever the reason. By God's mercy and grace and goodness, well, God may have set you up for something good. That's the providence of God. Now, there is another counterfeit to the providence of God, the synchronicity of Satan. Always dealing with that human independence, trying to bring it under control by whatever means necessary. And its number one approach is deception, by masquerade, and then by the tools of suprahuman or supernatural seduction. Vast in the millions upon millions worldwide, in India, in China, in Australia, in England, in Europe, in Mexico, in South America, all across the United States. Vast in all of this is an agenda. The agenda is really, really communicated clear, coming from the collective interaction as we examine the alien mind, the alien feelings, the alien intent. Somebody asked me once, Russ, if you was to see a spaceship land in your yard, what would you do? Well, I guess I would go up towards it. I don't know. See, I already have my, where I'm at on this issue. And that's probably why stuff like this hasn't brought itself, like in that Theosophical Society, whatever that presence actually that he believed it was, it wouldn't come forward. We have a broadcast going to come out, by the way. It just called what do the demons know? And actually, I was going to put down three things, and I ended up writing down a 9-point outline based again on scripture and interaction and real experience. What do they know? Let me tell you something. They know a lot more than humanity. They are supra human in the sense of they're beyond us. Their powers are beyond us. But as I examined over the years, the alien issue and all that kind of stuff, and the UFO, when I examined that and examined the spiritual nature of the demonic, it's one and the same. And I want you to listen, and I want to tell you the reasons why we say that this week. But I know that all of our hearts and minds are on Japan. I was reading just before the broadcast began. I don't know if you read this concerning Japan. You know about the tsunami and all that occurred there. It's utterly unbelievable. It really is. The water has gone out of the nuclear. Well, the rods are showing, and they're concerned about meltdown. And but the bigger picture and the horrific picture, and they're saying that it all has apocalyptic. It's almost like apocalyptic video and pictures of what's occurred there. Because now that the tsunami came in and went out, even affected the coast of the United States. And when it comes back in now on the shoreline, or are now they're saying hundreds, if not thousands of bodies of the Japanese people are now all coming back and coming on to the shores. It's got to be. They've run. Listen, you know what they've said in the article? It was almost beyond belief. Let me get it here for you. This article was telling me that they have run out of body bags. They have literally run out of body bags. And the other article, let me see where it's at here real quick. They've run out of body bags. And they say it this way, and I want to quote this real quick. It says, there's just too many bodies. Hundreds of dead have washed ashore on Japan's devastated northeast coast since last week's earthquake and tsunami. Others were dug out of the debris Monday by firefighters using pickaxes and chainsaws. Funeral homes and crematoriums are overwhelmed, and officials have run out of body bags and coffins. That, and looking at the picture of the shoreline, is apocalyptic. Now, it's horrific. We're going to see scenes like this again and again and again and again. A couple hundred thousand that were killed and swept away in Indonesia. It's pretty amazing that these earthquakes, and there's volcanoes, and there are tsunamis that big nations and big walls and nuclear plants with all of their safety and double safety and double walls and they can't handle. It's just too big. The end of days involves the concept of earthquakes. One of the signs of the very end is the kind of earthquakes like this, like in China, like, well, around the world, and like the ones to come. And part of that isn't so much just, well, God's judging. Listen, In Scripture, when God judges, there's a making known of the issue. We're dealing with tectonic plates. We're dealing with the creation decaying. It is fading. It is crumbling. It is. You read Romans chapter 8, you're going to find out that creation is sentient in relationship to God, that there is an emotional response to the bondage it was subjected to, and that it's decaying, that it's breaking down. And there seems to be, in the ramping up, corresponding rise of the dark side, that includes what's coming out of the skies, is a direct corresponding destabilization, violence, wickedness, and even environmental changes. Bottom line still is human agony and human hurt and human pain. There's a Savior that died on the cross that knows pain. Sinless he was. And Father, forgive them, for they know what to do. They know not what they do. Listen, when we think in terms of this, we see how vulnerable humanity is. A tsunami, an earthquake under the ocean. And all the ones that are going to be coming. There's going to be a lot of devastating things. Now, listen, there's a spin put on the end of days. Counterfeit prophecy, counterfeit insight, counterfeit to put the spin on, well, all this stuff's got to be good. All this stuff's going to be good. Let me tell you something. I'm reading to you again out of the alien mind. You know what it says? Whitney Strieber is being quoted here, once noted that his abductors' main fear of the abductors, are human independence. Other abductees cite that the abductors plan to control Earth after an escalated crisis of some sort. After an escalated crisis, after catastrophe, after crisis, after chaos, however you want to look at it, here it is all simply the same. It's this way once again. This alien mind, this alien content reveals that there is going to be a chaos, catastrophic stuff prior to their desire to bring about. You want to know some of the things, alien mind? Coming massive catastrophe and crisis. So it's coming from the collective voices of abductees, those interacting with the aliens, those remote viewing the aliens, those talking to the entities. They also say that there's going to be an evolved humanity. Where'd you hear that before? Evolved humanity. The aliens reject the concept of a singular God, but look and embrace a collective that they want us to be a part of. A collective. And they also want to change the genes of man. They want to do something to control humanity. Because that, for them, is what it's all about in the communication. Now, why are we examining the alien mind? Well, there are professors, there are psychologists, there are folks at NASA, there are scientists, there are physicists, there are occultists, there are many that are, and there are millions and millions and millions and more as I'm speaking that believe they exist. Now, let me give you one more thing before we deal with the existence. Real quick, Shatter Update. Black Awakening material is on the website, 24 hours free. And Light Along the Way, my wife's broadcast this last week, is up. And she does one once a week. And there are a lot of ladies and others that are listening and it's having some great ministry. Now, I don't want you to forget the CSEE conference. Obviously, with L.A. Marzulli there, Richard Grund there, and myself, there's going to be a grappling with the examining of the alien mind, an interaction with the History Channel's Ancient Aliens documentary. If you want to call it, it's really a projection of Eric Von Däniken and Giorgio and a number of those who are, like this book author, already believing that these are real aliens. And there's a grave danger because the communication is the exact same kind of communication that's coming from Alice Bailey, Helena Blavatsky, the old occultists, The interactions are similar to that of Aleister Crowley and his opening through an Amalantra working and a being that looks like a gray, an entity that now many Crowleyans and others can stare at and meditate and see if they can get into and make connection with the entity, Lamb. What are these? What are they? Well, listen, we're going to engage this in Connecticut in a couple of weeks. Looking forward to some of you coming. Listen, if you go to the website, shadowthedarkness.net, just go down and you'll see the black banner that says "See a Supernatural Explanations Event." Hope you're going to come 25th, 26th, 27th of March. The very next weekend is going to be the Politics of Religion. The Politics of Religion, April 1st and 2nd, Fort Wayne, Indiana. And click on it. Look at the speakers coming. They may be adding a few more well-known speakers. And we hope to see you there. I've gotten some emails from friends that, in both ways, are going to be there. Back now to the existence issue. Now, I want to touch on this. Listen now. I want to touch on the issue of the existence. Do they exist? And here's really two conclusions. And I think there are those that make the conclusions. I could be at the gym and talk to somebody, a teenager, and they've been aliens. They never seen one. They not read up on it. They've seen so much on TV, much on other things. The idea is there that, well, there must be. We're not the only ones in the universe. That kind of concept. So you got to understand how broad the belief system is. But the big warning and the big issue is the nature of these beings. Who they are, where they come from, what they want, what they're going to do. Well, that's the big issue. So those that are seeking disclosure, those that want the, quote, space brothers to come on across, or like on the back of this book, the assumption. It's concerning. It concerns me when the assumption, and here's what it says. I want to quote it again. Alien mind quotes, human contactees, and informative aliens in a new exploration of the thoughts and the assumptions of our extraterrestrial neighbors. That's the premise of the book, our extra. Now, could it be possible? When I was at Roswell, they allowed me to be up on stage at the last part of the last one of the conferences here a few years ago. And it was really a question and answer period. I sat next to Gary Bates, who authored the book, by the way, out of Australia. Great, great brother, too. I don't know him well. And got a great family that he brought with him there to the conference, and really great in ministry. But he wrote the book Alien Intrusion. Let me get it here to the right of me. Yeah, there it is. Alien Intrusion and UFOs and the Evolution Connection, where he puts the two together. Now, that is a book I will recommend. Gary Bates, Alien Intrusion. Now, that's a book I can really push and say someone who has examined it very well also. But he's concluded the way I have concerning the nature, where they come from, and all the rest. So, number one, either it's all a delusion. People are just seeing things. It's all, nothing's there. They're just seeing things, and it's just mass hysteria. It's a delusion, or maybe they've been on drugs. Maybe they smoked a little bit of a weed, and they thought they saw something, you know, flashing by. And so, like, not sleep paralysis, but kind of night vision, whatever it may be. Now, I read the report a week ago about another man and his wife, and something stopped the car and engaged, and they were translucent spirits. Now, I want you to remember that. A lot of the report, translucent. The concept of the gray, which, by the way, the gray concept literally comes after the occult, big, broad occult Amalantra ritual. Something opened in the skies. There was the hope by Aleister Crowley and others, Jack Parsons, rocket scientist, by the way, in the United States. Well, there is a desire for a hybrid. They wanted a moon child. They wanted a connection between these superior entities and humanity, and they tried for it. But in the Amalantra working, they may have opened a massive gateway. Don't forget the laws of engagement. The doors may have been opened through that kind of a big ritual, and this lamb, this picture that looks like the head of a gray alien, the way they're designed or pictured anyway. But I really would. I'd love if it, you know, again, an interaction, an engagement. Because I think it's vital, because either we are being visited by extraterrestrials, ancient races, master races out there, and they're flying here in finite ships that can crash, and maybe the military did get apart a few of them, and they froze them, or they did the examination, they cut them open, and, well, we're examining the phenomena, the alien, and then what is the mind? What is the content of their belief? What do they want? Since more and more and more by the millions are accepting the concept of their presence, accepting the concept of their visitation. Is it a delusion? Okay, let's just say it's all delusion, and there is so much money and so much time. All the abductees are nuts and crazy. If that's what it is, a delusion, then everybody's nuts. I take the other side. Here's what I say. The alternative is, it's real, but a deception. It's real, but a plotted, planned, increasing, growing, ramped up deception. That there is a presence, there is non-human intelligences, their non-human presence, that it's really there, and that in the last 70 years, they have been communicating and ramping up that communication, and just like in the world of the occult, just like in the world of deep Satanism, just like in the world of finite fallen spirits and their evolutionary development into the hearts and minds of humanity, politics, military, economics, environmental concerns, that they are literally engaging, and literally the alienologist, ufologist phenomena is in direct correspondence with the occult and all the rest we just mentioned. I believe that it's real, but a deception. One of the things I want to bring out to you just simply comes, I don't know if you've read this. Well, it comes from the book of Corinthians, and let me see, get it here for you, because it comes from metaskizmazo is the word. It comes from the word metaskizmazo. And metaskizmazo is that little word used out of 2 Corinthians. Now, I want everyone to listen. This comes from the Spirit of God. This is a revelation that comes from the Spirit of God concerning what to the rest of us literally is unseen. There is a collective. There is a vast collective. And I'm going to give a little bit of detail on that collective and the reality that in prophetic revelation, in other words, the prophecy that has come from the Spirit of God, put through apostles and prophets and others about the end of days, that there would be unprecedented ramping up communication, interaction with the goal of deceiving. Now listen, biblical revelation teaches the goal of deceiving the planet. It is a big agenda. Now to 2 Corinthians 11:14, mark it down. And here's what it says, simply this, and no marvel, for Satan himself, now listen, just Satanas is the word, this word about marvel, you know, don't, you know, this is the idea of, and no wonder, for Satan himself is metaskizmazo. These entities have the ability, listen, here's the word the Holy Spirit chose to communicate it, metaskizmazo. And I'm simply going to do this. I am going to give you a simple definition of this, but I want you to know everybody should take this to heart more than ever. More than ever, because if, as I believe, and believe it's true, that biblical prophecy is real, infallible, accurate, and the bottom line accurate source of the actual developments in human history. We've got a great heads up and preemptive look of the actual things that will occur in human history. Metis Gizmadzo has this idea of to change the outward appearance, to transfigure the outward appearance. If someone showed up at your house and they're dressed in this black, tight, kind of like Spider-Man uniform, and they got a mask on, who is it? Who is it? You know, if you meet somebody, they have a mask on. You ever go to a masquerade party? When I was a kid, I went to a masquerade party. And part of the, well, fun of it in that day was to go to guess who it was behind the mask. To wear a mask. Something weird about wearing a mask too, isn't it? You know, back as a kid, you know, when nobody knew, I didn't know the difference. We weren't raised in church. We're going out and doing trick-or-treat. We're going out there, you know, and we got a mask on. You know what my costume was as a kid? As a kid? I was dressed up like Casper the Ghost. I had a Casper the Ghost mask. Little cute face behind there. I guess I was cute. I don't know. Big ear on one side, bigger than the other. That's kind of strange for me. But Casper the Ghost mask. And so I went to this, you know, door to door. I'm looking at the people through the eye mask. You know, a little plastic mask that gets all sweaty and snot. You know, little rubber band that goes around and pinches your ear. Little white jumpsuit that I wore looked like Casper the Ghost. So, you know, you go door to door and you stand there at the door and you yell out trick or treat, and you know, as a kid, all you want is those candy bars. Get home and you got how many you're about, argue at all. But you know what? Going door to door, there's something elusive about it. You have a mask. They don't know who you really are. That's what a mask is all about. They don't know who you really are. A mask is to hide the actual appearance. Meta Schizmazo. It tells us that Satanus himself and the whole collective, the whole array of watchers, planos spirits, archon, rulers, authorities, principalities, cosmic riders is the big word, the territorial, Prince of Persia, by the way, forces in the heavenly realms, Ephesians 6. Well, all of this array that there are different spirits, different kinds. They have different jobs and no doubt have different appearance. It would seem that some are located, the prince of the power of the air, the Eros, that which is right above us in the atmosphere, space per se, that this whole collective worldwide, this domain, the prince of the power, the ruler of the domain of the Eros, the dense atmosphere around us, it's where all these folks are seeing the ships or the lights or the colors or the, you know, where the so-called quote aliens are coming from. They're coming from the Eros. They are coming from where the scripture says the cosmocrators are located. The wicked forces in the heavenly realms are located there. And it's where the planos, 1 Timothy 4:1, where the Spirit of God says in the end of days, planos, seducing spirits, are going to come in increasing measure, by the way, and they're going to come with one purpose, to deceive many. You can read it in Matthew 24. You can read it in 1 Timothy 4. You can read it in 2 Thessalonians 2. You can read it in 2 or 1 John 2. You can read that the issue is deception. And the actual, listen, when I say spiritual powers of deception, there is physics behind that. There is actually the ability to engage the human brain, the human mind, the human perception, and wearing, because of metaskizmazo, because of the change in outward appearance, they can transfigure, they can adapt. They look like whatever they need to look like. So, as above in the heavenlies around us, where this collective, this array of the satanic, of the demonic, that's the terms God gives, the Spirit of God gives, that Jesus Christ gives to non-human intelligences. They oppose God. They oppose Christ. They want to limit human freedom, engage humanity supernaturally, that's their physics, by the way, evolve humanity for their purposes. Oh, there's going to be a deep connection here with the Antichrist. I'm going to bring that out this week. But don't forget this thing. They have the entities we see need to be, and we're going to do it this week, need to have the mask ripped off. If you could see behind the mask, it's one thing that these things are appearing to people in open. And I find a lot of times in with abductees and listening to the testimonies in Roswell and other places and individuals that I have engaged, that the door to the occult, door to the meditations and New Age practices, all these other doors were already opened. You know what other door wasn't opened? They didn't have the Spirit of God. They did not have the Spirit of the living God inside of them, thus vulnerable. Can you drive a car blind? Do you know when to turn? Do you know when to turn left, turn right, see what's coming ahead? You don't, because if you're blind, you don't really know so much what's in front of you. You're operating blind. Without the Spirit of Christ inside, not only do you not belong to Christ, belong to God, know God, but you are vulnerable. You do not have what you need to see past this plotted, planned, designed metaschizmazo mask. A change in the outward appearance, the idea of a dress, a form of presentation. They transfigure to bring about a presentation. The goal is to make you believe they are something else and not what they really are. Number one, are they extraterrestrial? SETI and all kinds of other scientific approach to it would say, well, not around here anyway, maybe way out there in space. But we don't know because we've not interacted. In just a week or two ago out of NASA, an astrobiologist, found that little thing looks like a worm and said that that's alien life. Now the others are all pouncing on it saying, no, you don't know what you're talking about. What about ultra-terrestrial, something beyond just physical ships? I mean, this is where as a kid we watched George Jetson, Lost in Space, you know, E.T. and all the other movies. And look at the movies now. Look at the concept. See, what's in the minds and hearts of producers, where they get their information, what is worldwide, what, you know, they're going to market with, you know, what sells, what do the people want to see, what are they thinking about, what's web-bought, perceive the emotional content of the thinking. Well, they are thinking in terms of alien presence that's coming to bring destruction to humanity, on the one hand. Now, a lot of alienologists, ufologists, they get angry at that because they want to say these are our brothers. Let me tell you again that everything about them, their ability to appear and disappear, even when it comes to the so-called lights in the skies and everything, they're able to move like nothing else. Everything shows us they are beyond anything human, physical, as far as capacity. They clearly show extra dimensionality. And the strange thing, providential thing, I'm working on this last night. I'm working on the notes late last night. I get done 1:30 in the morning, go to bed, turn on the radio to listen a little bit to Coast, Whitney Strieber's on. And who's he? He is interviewing Richard Dolan. And as he's interviewing, I'm hearing them talk about, and I marked down some of the things they're talking about. You know what the question was? Are they extraterrestrial? What are they? And both Whitney Strieber and Richard began to point everything to extra-dimensional. And then Richard brings out that they are highly interested in the soul of man. Something about the soul of man. They want something to do with the soul of humanity. Now, I'm talking about individuals that are in the they're at the cutting edge of alienology, ufology. They are out there writing the books, doing the talk shows. Richard, I met twice actually down in Roswell. Matter of fact, he signed a book and I got one of his. And I love them both. Not that I agree with them on their spirituality at all. By God's providence, if they get to listen to this, I'd love to engage you about God's direct love for you, God's direct desire for you, and the cross. Later on this week, we're going to go over the theology of the, quote, aliens, the extra-dimensional forces out there. What is their theology? How is that in the communication? How do we, when we engage Eric Von Däniken and the Ancient Aliens documentary and what's being... See, there's a lot of people getting their theology off of that. And it is, in my view, in my work, and in my background, some of the worst cultic scripture twisting and misuse and deception, if not terrible, terrible integrity when it comes to the context of Scripture. Why is there such a hatred of Scripture, hatred of Christ, hatred of God among some of those like Eric Von Däniken? One of the most read authors in all the world, and more is to come from him, more is to come from others, because this is all beefing up. Well, everything tells us that they are extra-dimensional. Let me go down a little further on your notes here. I'm asking you about your experience, asking about what you believe, and where are you open to this? You might, listen, without the Spirit of God in you, in the highest ramping up in human history of counterfeit spirituality, metaschismazo, that is, real entity, real presence, interacting with humanity on all kinds of levels, by the way, but masqueraded, changing the outward appearance, all the while the goal, because they need to hide what they really are, lethal, haters of God, haters of Christ, and desiring, as the communication with the alien stuff anyway, control of humanity. Now, I go under biblical revelation in the book of Daniel, watchers, 1 Timothy 4:1, planos, the seducing kind of spirits, entities. In Ephesians 6, archon authorities, cosmocrators, forces in the heavenly realms, entities probably by the hundreds of millions, clearly in a collective worldwide. It's their territory. It's their domain. And there's nothing, and we're by the end of the hour here. Word of Hope today, Daniel, out of the book of Daniel. Take a read. Daniel chapter 2. The mystery was revealed, and this is what it says. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness and dwells, and light dwells with him. Take a read, Daniel chapter 2, verse 22, that whole section. If you don't know Christ, come to Christ. If you're a believer in Christ, let's engage and do our work. Rust is to our shadow, the darkness.net. Keep us in your prayers. Keep us in support. God bless you.